Blog Talk Radio.
Beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and it's good to be here. Thank God, just another day that the Lord has blessed us. The Lord has kept us. Like the writer says, it's of the Lord's mercies. We are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So thank God. We are your truth station. Amen. Your one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. And as the Apostle Paul said, that the truth is in Jesus. And everybody don't know that Jesus told the disciples, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So what a blessing it is to know that there is one God. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, as St. John records also, as the revelation to Moses, which was revealed unto him, and that is, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God is a divine testimony. There was only one witness on the stand, and that was the Lord God Himself. We know that He is the Creator of the ends of the earth. He fainted not, neither is weary, saith the prophet Isaiah. There's no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, them that have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth and shall be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So that's who we're looking to in this dark and evil world, as the Bible calls it, a crooked, Jesus Himself called it a crooked and perverse generation. So we know that we're living in the last days, and the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, said in the last days, perilous times shall come. So definitely we are living in perilous times. So much greed and all going on in the land. And that's going to be a horrible thing when people stand before God to give an account for the deeds that are done in their body. They wouldn't even help somebody to eat, but they got their millions and billions saved up for generations to come, so they think. But when currency ends up being changed, and their bottom line sheet ends up being nothing but a bottom line sheet, and they're going to find out. They're supposing that gain is godliness. They're going to be in for a rude awakening. We know what the Bible said, that the love of money is the root of all evil. And so, and that's 1 Timothy 6 and 10. Yes, the Bible says that the money answereth all things. You got to rightly divide the word. Yeah, we need money to get by in this world, but the greed for it being a master, That's where folks are going wrong at. They do anything to have it. And it's not going, you're not going to drive your Lexus or your BMW or your Ferrari to the pearly gates and pay your way in. It's not going to work like that. So thank God for the truth of the word of the Lord, knowing that is you got to be born again. This is the only way that you're going to enter into the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, having a good time and all of that. But the kingdom of God is righteousness, is peace, and joy. And you can only have that in the Holy Ghost. That's Romans 14 and verse 17, I believe. So thank God for the word of God. We thank God that we have been able and constantly, just like James says, look into the perfect law of liberty. So we know that the word of God is a mirror. So we should be able to see ourselves in it. So you see what you don't want when you look in the mirror at your natural face. When you hold your natural face, as he says, in a glass, which he's talking about a mirror, you see things that you don't like, you do something about it. So you don't want to do that. When you look in the word of God and you see, you don't see Christ-like, you don't see righteousness and all, then you got time right now to straighten it out. So thank God, amen, for the word of God. So there are so many that have went off course and lying to people and trying to pick your pocket, as it were, for lack of a better word, lying to you like they're like Simon the Sorcerer, some great one, and bless me and all. No, we're not living in the ministry of the prophets where the man of God, you got to bless him, and your blessing comes through the man of God. That is a lie out of hell, and I come against that lie. But the ministry of the prophets is done away with, and that's why in the book of Hebrews, the first chapter, the first word says God, comma, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. The office of sonship is the ministry that's going on now, and even this ministry had been spoken of by the Lord first. So who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a much a more excellent name than they. For under which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And so we can see here what this is talking about. All these other things are going to perish. Amen. But the Lord is not going to change. So it's about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, not by folks telling you. All they're trying to do is hustle you out of their money, and you can't buy a blessing, and they ought to quit that lie, but they won't quit that lie because Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy when he was talking about the qualifications of a bishop or an overseer or a pastor. He says they can't, one of the qualifications that they should not have, or what they should not be, they should be a lover of hospitality, but what they should not be, that is greedy of filthy lucre. And filthy lucre is money. So that's why we're here, to tell the truth. And so the truth will make you free. So you don't have to get hustled out of your money. God requires only the tithe, which is the tenth, and a free will offering. The free will offering is up to you. Ain't no such thing as these pastors saying, the Lord told me to tell you to give me $100 or to give me a week's salary or to give me a month's salary and all that. That is a lie out of hell. And that's where they got it from, out of their own mind or out of hell itself, and that's where they need to take it back to. But God is a God that already left on record what he requires of us. And that is, he wants your heart to be right, first and foremost. But the tithe is the tenth. And a free will offering. So you purpose in your heart what you're going to give. That's what he wants you to, that's what you give. God, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So we behooves us to take heed to the word of the Lord. So it's not a popular gospel. So it's so simple to believe the gospel and the record, the word that was left on record by the apostles whom he chose. So you read in the book of Acts what the apostles did as far as the gospel. You read in the Acts and the gospels, they all tell you at the end to go back to the city of Jerusalem and wait till you be endued with power from on high, especially Luke. And because he was the one who wrote the Acts of the Apostles. So thank God for his word. So you can't go wrong when you know what the word says. And that's what a dirty preacher, a crooked preacher, a preacher that's trying to hustle you, they don't want you to know what the word of God says. You can get in that Bible for yourself and find out what it says. And it is the truth. That's why he told Timothy to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So when you rightly divide the word of the truth, the word of truth, you won't be hustled by nobody. There's so many people there looking at the fishes and the loaves, even back at during the times of the days of Jesus. These folks are looking at what they can get. And surely that is a lie that they don't want you to your eyes to come open on, and that is you cannot buy a blessing. You can't twist God's wrist or bribe God or hustle or pimp God. But surely people can do that to people that come across that they're some great one. So it is with this man, Apostle Paul, came against all of that foolishness. And he was a very learned, he was a very educated man. But he said he counted all dung or garbage or whatever you want to call it that he may win Christ. It's all garbage. All of this other stuff, the philosophical tidbit and all of these big words that are over people's head and all, but it was a simple gospel. And so this is what he let people would say. He would surely boast a little bit as far as pertaining to the flesh, but he was a learned man. Someone said his degrees had degrees. So thank God for this man having the love of God in his heart for the people of God, which is what we all should have. And just like the apostle when he wrote about the love of money being the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But he was saying, thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness and godliness and charity, all the things that you should do. And he went on to say, we didn't bring anything into this world, and it's certain we're not going to take anything out of here. A lot of people are going to end up in the lake of fire forever and ever. Their greed over money and whoever they had to step on to get it and don't care, and it's going to be sad. They're going to have to give account to God forever and ever for their foolishness that they did. So that's what you don't want to do. So the Bible says, that's why he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain, 1 Timothy 6:6. And verse 7, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. So he's talking about to the people of God. So it's not contingent upon what you have and what you don't have. Not saying that you shouldn't not make yourself better. That's not the message that he's sending. So and he said, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and a many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. So you made your mind up, you will be rich, you're going to be rich, you at all costs, is what you're saying in your heart. Some people that got rich, I'd say, they probably had no idea that they were going to get rich. It just happened. So some folks' heart is right. They realize they're not hurting it all up, or for themselves, or to themselves. Or just like I said, that one Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, they're trying to help others. And there's other people that do have money, and they are trying to help others, because you're not going to take it with you. And so that's what we have to realize. But here in our lesson in the 11th chapter in the 12th and 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, where we're trying to get to here today. We're talking about the revelations, St. Paul's revelations, and thorn in the flesh on the day. And so these things, there are quite a number of things that happened to him. So he kind of is a great thinker. He is a great thinker and was a great thinker. The things that he does, he wants to get you going and, as we would say, get the juices flowing, get you to thinking. So he says, would to God you could bear with me a little folly, a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. See, that's what I was saying. Even some people want to make themselves be as some great one, that they are Elijah. They are Elijah or Elisha. Said the ministry of the prophets is gone. Now you have a pastor in the local church, and the man of God that really loves the Lord and loves the people of God, his message is the Lord. He's preaching the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's promoting him. He's proclaiming his name. He's not trying to magnify himself as being some great one to tell you that your blessing comes through the man of God, and it doesn't. Your blessing comes through God. It comes through the word of God, and the man of God in the New Testament church is a vessel of God that's used by God, and surely God is a God of order, and so God, there is order in the local church, but the man of God is proclaiming the word of the Lord, not himself being so important. Some of these folks, they don't care. All they want is money in their own pocket and hustling the people of God. That's not a real man of God. As the Lord Jesus Christ himself would say, that is what you would call a hireling, a hireling. He don't care for the sheep. He sees the wolf come and he fleeth because he don't care for the sheep. In the 10th chapter of St. John. But Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. There it is right there. Some of these people try to act like they're so important. They're not going to give their life. Like Apostle Paul said back in the book of Romans, scarcely for a righteous one would even dare die. But God commended his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I know even people say that King gave his life, Martin Luther King Jr., Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., however you want to address him. He didn't give his life. He didn't come to give his life. They assassinated him. They took his life. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to give his life a ransom for many. So a lot of these folks who lost their lives, they didn't give their lives. They knew that they were in harm's way, but their life was taken from them. But the Lord died on purpose. He came to give his life. That's why he gave his life. He said, I'm the good shepherd. Good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And he went on to say, because you got to understand the will of God and the foreknowledge of God and the plan of God. And he was saying, no man take my life, but I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. So in other words, he gave his life. He put it in their hearts to take his life because he had to shed his blood, because without shedding of blood is no remission. So thank God for doing that. And so like he said here, I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I espouse you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Like I said previously, it's just a simple gospel. It's not no long drawn out thing. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. So that is all a lie. there is not another gospel, there is not another Jesus, and these people keep coming up with these lies about they found there's more books written that go with the Bible. I believe God is a wise enough God to leave on record what he wanted to be left on record. So we can't just believe everything. Surely, I like to watch the History Channel and National Geographic and a lot of things that they have in history. There's validity to that. This and every time they come up with a notion to try to discredit God and come up with another gospel according to Judas and all that foolishness, then there are theologians that are right back behind it to beat that down because they know that is not true. So people are just trying to discredit the word of God, but God left on record. There's enough word on record to save the whole world. There's enough word left on record, just like God intended, to condemn the whole world. And, you know, people try to act like there's 20 scriptures and whatever people got to save you. Doesn't matter. If it's one scripture to keep you out of the lake of fire, you need to grab a hold of it and run with it. That's what I got to say with that. So you can't discredit what God left on record. His word was inspired by men, the men that he left on record to write the word. And that's why I say people get upset when I say it, but I don't care. You can get upset all you want because that's what we don't want, our pride. We don't want our bubble busted when I make the statement, which is a true statement, that there are no apostles nowadays. But the job of an apostle was to lay the foundation and to write the New Testament scriptures. And they suffered. They were eyewitnesses of the Lord. Apostle Paul said in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians about people seeing the Lord above 500 brethren at once, those that saw him. And then he says, last of all, he was seen of me as one born out of due season. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. So he was the last one to be an eyewitness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there are no apostles nowadays. So it matters not what people call themselves. You need to take a hold and believe what the word of God says and all of us try to quit making ourselves so important, but to be like the Apostle Paul was. He was a very learned man. He was very important. He was apostle to the Gentiles after Judas fell and they cast lots and the lot fell upon Matthias. But that wasn't God's man. A God man, the apostle for the Gentiles, was, as we call him, St. Paul or Apostle Paul. So this is why he starts off in 2 Corinthians 11 chapter, saying the things that he is saying, and we're not going to preach another Jesus. There's no more eyewitnesses or none of that, as we're saying here. So he says, I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. And he says, a question here, have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted? Because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely. So this is quite a bit of what he's saying here. So what we want to do, we thank God on today. As I said, my co-hosts, I have a number of co-hosts that are with me from time to time. So we thank God on today. We're going to bring in Elder Ryan Fountain, who is also our historian, and he's also an educator himself. So we thank God for him when he's able to be here with us on the broadcast. So at this time, without further ado, we're going to give you in the hands of Elder Ryan Fountain. Say, I went in over a few verses, but it's in Amen. His hands to take it.
Praise the Lord, everybody. We are in, it looks like we're in the 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Paul's talking about the simplicity of Christ, and as Elder Cannon was speaking before, that we're not to preach another Jesus, and that's the subtlety that Satan uses in deceiving those people that would like to believe and have sincere hearts. He uses subtlety and makes you to believe in another Jesus. So when he describes Jesus as another person in the Godhead, or he describes that there is a distinction or a separation between the Father and the Son, then through those subtle words and nuances in speech and how it's perceived and how it's taught, you actually are changing the gospel. And these are deceivers, and we'll talk about false apostles in a minute, because he goes on to speak of Satan's ministers, just as Satan himself is able to change himself into an angel of light. So the devil is able to change things to make them look like they're right,
yeah.
As does his ministers. But Paul did not preach by another spirit. He did not preach another Jesus to them. He preached the same Jesus as he did to every other church. As we said quite a few times throughout our expedition of both of these epistles, this was one of Paul's favorite churches. And he says that he robbed, in the 8th verse, it says, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. So what he's saying is that he took away a lot of teaching that he could have been doing other places to give it to them. They could have been receiving what Paul was teaching, but he chose to stay with them because he felt that they had a good gift within that church. But they constantly questioned the validity of Paul's ministry. There was a sect within the church that believed Paul was not an apostle, that believed Paul did not have the authority that he claimed, and that they divided themselves into quite a few sects within the church, namely those that followed after the teachings of Peter, those that followed after the teachings of Apollos, and those that followed after the teachings of Paul. And also there was those that simply followed after what Christ said,
yeah.
Which is a very dangerous person, because they will listen to no man on this earth except Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is not on this earth as a man any longer. We do not worship Jesus Christ after the flesh, but we worship him after the Spirit. But that Spirit works through men,
yes.
Chosen men, called men, sent men.
Yeah.
They have to be sent by Christ, they have to be chosen by Christ, they have to be called by Christ.
Yeah.
And if you are not of that sort of type of man, or that type of man, you are not speaking on behalf of Christ. But these people would only hear Christ, so they were looking for a spirit that was never going to speak to them out with necessarily an audible voice.
Yeah.
Now, I would not say that there's not times where the Spirit speaks in an audible voice, because there's many instances where it happens. Paul himself said that the Spirit spoke to him, or that the Lord spoke to him and told him that my grace is sufficient for thee.
Yeah.
So, and that he appeared to him out of heaven on the road to Damascus. There's many, and even in our modern day, there's many people that say that the Lord speaks to them. Well, you have to try the Spirit. You have to try who is speaking to you, and you have to confirm it. And if it can't be confirmed within this word, God will not contradict himself, and God will not make himself out to be a liar. So if you say that a voice speaks to you, and the voice that speaks to you speaks a word that does not that is not fulfilled, or does not come to pass, or does not line up with the word of God, you are not speaking to God. God is not speaking to you in this manner. God speaks to us through his word mainly in this day. That is the main way that God speaks to us, is through the word of God.
Yeah.
Because this is the foundation that the apostles established. He established the foundation upon the apostles and prophets. He did not literally build a church on top of an apostle, or literally build a church on top of a prophet, such as a certain church that is based in Rome. says that their church was built upon the tomb of St. Peter, but it's rather built upon the teachings of the apostles and the teachings of the prophets in the New Testament. And those teachings were directly linked with the teaching of the Lord, because he was the one that taught them. So they were just passing on the teaching unto others. And we are to continue to build upon this foundation. We were not to leave this foundation ever. So when you start getting into things that are extra-biblical or non-canonical, then you are leaving the foundation that the apostles laid. And when you leave that foundation, you are subject to deception. You are subject to judgment for your actions. You are no longer under grace. You are no longer under the house of God. You are no longer under that banner. You are no longer under the blood-stained banner that protects you, because you have left the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. So you have to be very careful when you leave the foundation. And this is what Paul was trying to bring in order, that they do not leave this foundation, and that he was indeed proving his apostleship unto them. And he was proving unto them that I am who I say I am,
yeah,
because God confirmed it unto me. God himself, the Lord himself, taught me for 3 years, just as he did the other apostles. And he taught me everything that I need to know, everything that he taught them while he was walking around on this earth for 3.5 years, he taught me.
Yeah.
And he had to prove himself unto the other apostles,
yeah,
namely Peter, John, and James. He had to go before them, and they tried him and made sure that he was indeed an apostle that was called by God, and only after he passed their test, and only after he was proved by them, then they extended the right hand of fellowship unto them and backed his teaching.
Yeah.
So he was apostle-backed, but even further than that, he is backed by the Lord, because he goes on to say, I believe it's in Galatians, that he was an apostle chosen not by men, but of God.
Right.
So he was an apostle chosen by God, and he had to prove this unto them, and they questioned him many times. And this is just another instance where he is proving his apostleship unto them.
Yes.
Undoubtedly.
Yes. I want to I forgot to make mention about our call-in number. Should you desire to call in, if you have a question or a comment, 646-716-6566. That's 646-716-6566.
Amen. So, moving on, he says, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. So, he spent a lot of time with this church. He really had a deep love for this church and for this congregation. He had a deep-seated desire to see them flourish and to see them successful. And it says in verse number 9, and when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. So now, what he is referring to here, and is this in 1 Corinthians where he talks about the plow?
Oh, yeah, the ninth chapter, 1 Corinthians.
Ninth chapter, 1 Corinthians,
mm-hmm,
where he talks about the oxen is able to,
yeah,
feed off of that which he plows,
mm-hmm,
because he is the one doing the work within the field.
Mm-hmm.
This is what Paul was referring to, that he was able to take wages from them,
mm-hmm,
because he set up that ministry and he established it. And when you are a pastor in your pastorate, taking an Old Testament example,
mm-hmm,
the Levites were the priesthood within the nation of Israel. they were not to work. They were allowed to, I believe they were allowed to have little gardens within their house, but they were not allowed to, they did not have any land even to farm on. They had cities that were set aside, but they did not have the land to do farming and to raise livestock, because that was not their inheritance. Their inheritance was not the land. Their inheritance was the service unto the Lord. They were the tribe. The word Levi means to join. They were the tribe that joined God unto Israel. So they were not to work as the other nations were, or the other tribes were to work, but they were to work only unto the Lord.
Yeah.
So now when you are a pastor in your pastorate, now I know many pastors, especially today, hold a career or a job to help to take the burden off of the church, but they do not necessarily have to have a
job in the marketplace.
I'm sorry, I completely blanked right there. But they were not to necessarily have that, because it's not required of them. They are required to study after the word of the Lord. And in Acts the 6th chapter, and then we'll go to 1 Corinthians 9 again. Acts the 6th chapter, this is talking about the Grecian Jews and the Hebrews that were in Jerusalem. They had a dispute over the ministration of the goods, and they did not, the Grecians did not feel that they were being treated fairly. So when they brought this problem unto the 12 apostles, it says in Acts the 6th chapter, we're looking in the, let's look at the first verse. It says, in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. Now, these were all Jews, mind you, but these were Grecian Jews and Jews that were raised in the land, in the land of Palestine or in Jerusalem or in Judea, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So they were not given, they felt they were not given the same proportions as the other Jews were, so, and they felt slighted. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, many people think that this is the origination of the office of a deacon. This is not the office of a deacon. This is 7 men. These were all preachers, in fact. So these men were to make sure that everybody's needs were met within the various believers. But this is my point. This is where I want to get to. This is the crux of the scripture. In the 4th verse, this is what a pastor should desire out of leading a congregation.
Mm-hmm.
He should not have to worry about bringing home money from the marketplace or trying to make money to sustain himself. He should be worried about this right here.
Mm-hmm.
But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So they should be worried about 2 things mainly: prayer and the ministry of the word.
Yeah.
The pastor should be the main intercessor within the church. He should be able to pray for every saint. He should be able to pray for every brother, every sister within his local congregation. He should be sending out prayers daily, more than just daily. And any time that the Spirit moves within him, he should be able to go and pray. And he should also be able to minister the word freely, not have to take a certain amount of time and be constricted with giving the word out at various times, because the people, due to time schedules and time constraints, aren't always able to be there to meet up with him and get the daily ministry. But if he is always available, you can come to him at any time. And if he does not have a job, he does not have to worry about time constraints.
Right.
He's available at all times of the day. Being a pastor is your job.
Right.
Just if you're a full-time pastor.
Yeah, like nowadays, some pastors, they answer emails from people in the congregation, so he could be anywhere.
Yeah.
He could really be out of town, and he could be on his computer, and he get a message. He can answer right back.
So a pastor should try to make himself always available.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul did not do this. Paul, even when he was ministering unto them, he did not take wages of them. In 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and this is again where they were questioning his apostleship. He says, "Am I an apostle? Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Am I not free? Yes, I am. Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Yes, I have.
Yeah.
And are you not my work in the Lord? Yes, you are."
Yeah.
So all those answers to those questions was yes.
Yeah.
"If I be not an apostle unto others, yea, doubtless I am to you, for the seal of my apostleship are ye in the Lord."
Mm-hmm.
"Everything that I've done for you shows that I am an apostle."
Yeah.
"Mine answer to them that do examine is this: have we not power to eat and drink?" We're not going to worry. Let's worry about the sixth verse. "Or I only and Barnabas, have we not power to forbear working?" So he did not have to work. He could have forbear and went on and just pastored the church. And they were obligated to take care of him. "Who goeth to warfare at any time at his own charges? Who planted the vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof?" So let's take this example. If you join the army, you do not pay your own way in the army. The army pays for you.
Yeah.
They have to pay you in order to go out and fight. You get, in fact, they get checks, they get taken care of, they get training, they get free training, they get all of their equipment provided unto them. All that's provided unto them just for signing up and being part of the army.
Yeah.
They don't have to go out and pay for their own equipment. They don't have to go out and pay for their room and board. The army takes care of them.
Yeah.
So in this case, the church is supposed to take care of the pastor if he chooses that.
Yeah.
Now, Paul did not choose this. We know it is a well-known fact, I believe it's Acts around the 15th or 16th chapter, where he meets up with Priscilla and Aquila,
mm-hmm.
who are of the same trade of him. They were tent makers.
Right.
So Paul was still actively working when he was within the different cities
mm-hmm.
as a tent maker.
Right.
So he did not take wages of the congregations, and it says that the brothers from Macedonia came down and helped him. He did not ask for wages of the Corinthians. So Paul says that the brothers that came from Macedonia supplied, "And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, so will I keep myself." So they have no charge against him. Now, there's some people that believe that, and the case may be very well true, that there are pastors out there that are what we call fleecing the sheep. When you fleece a sheep, you are taking that sheep's wool down so far that it will not grow back properly as it should every year. When they cut the sheep's wool, they leave so much on so that it will grow back each year and that you can get plenty out of it each year. And you can sell off the cotton or sell off the wool as you, I said cotton. You can sell off the wool as you see fit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, cotton is a plant. And cotton does not come off a sheep.
Right.
For those that are listening and heard my blunder, forgive me.
For shear.
Yeah.
The wool. Yeah.
They shear the wool and they sell it off as they see fit and make money, or they make clothes or whatever.
Yeah.
But when you fleece a sheep, you cut it down so far that it will not grow back properly, then that sheep is worth nothing because you can't grow any wool off of it. All you can make is lamb chops. And what they're doing is fleecing the sheep and taking people for all that they have.
Yeah.
And many times these people don't have much. They take people for all that they have just to feed their lifestyles. And when they are done with them, they toss them off to the wolves and leave them for lamb chops.
Right. It's like I said earlier about people hustling and pimping people and taking them when all God requires is the tithe and a free will offering. And many times, like in nowadays, what will happen is a person will be wounded. You might not throw them off. They're running off themselves. They get sick of you.
Yeah.
And so I know of people who have got tired of getting hustled by some of these soul hustlers, and they left. I know somebody personally.
Yeah.
A couple.
So things like money lines and pledges and many of the other gimmick offerings that, mm-hmm. that are come up with, whether it be offerings that they try to compare to the seven feasts of the Lord or
Gideon 300.
Yeah, all those gimmick offerings are not part of the will of God. They are not part of the pastor's required
right.
Income from the church.
Right.
That is all extra. And many of that extra can be detrimental to a person's livelihood. And you're really taking away, they're really taking away, and I hate to use the word pimping, but they're taking everything that a person has and using it for themselves.
Yeah.
And telling the person that they took the money from that you're all right. You just use faith.
Mm.
While they go off out the back door with their money.
Yeah.
That's not right. That's not God. That is not his will.
Right.
That is what Peter calls a false prophet or a false teacher
yeah.
making merchandise of you. So that's what we should be
preaching against.
Yeah, preaching against and aware of.
Yeah, exactly. So, while you go in there, what I was going to say, it's so much to do with 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, because actually Apostle Paul made reference back to the law of Moses when he was saying, you don't muzzle the mouth of the ox,
yes,
tread
yes.
out the corn. He was saying that God take care of oxen. So the point being there, what Apostle Paul was making, if a pastor is in the marketplace, his mouth is muzzled.
Yes.
He can't eat like he should to
yes.
feed the church.
Because instead of prayer and looking after the word of God,
yes.
he is in the marketplace trying to make a living for his family.
Yeah.
And that's what, again, going back to the Levitical example that I was speaking of mm-hmm. earlier, whenever the Levites were not properly taken care of by the other tribes, they had to go out and work.
Mm.
And when they had to go out and work, it caused a separation between the people and God, and the sacrifices did not go forth as they should have.
Mm.
And that's what the main concern of the Levites should have been. Whenever the a bad king or somebody wanted to come and overthrow the people from God, all they had to do was come in and take out the Levites out of the priesthood. That's what Ahab and Jezebel did. Jezebel killed all the Levites and put in her own priests of her gods. And that's how you separate the people from God. You take away the priesthood. You take away those that are to be giving themselves wholly unto the Lord. So every church's desire is to have a pastor that does not have to worry about going out into the marketplace and working. Just a little tidbit of information
right.
for you.
And then another thing that's false, just, you know about that church where we're talking about in Rome where the he's supposed to be taking a vow of poverty, and I forget the other thing. So I mean, Jesus didn't tell us just because he didn't have nowhere to lay. He said, "The son of where the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the son of man hath not where to lay his head." He didn't say, "Don't do nothing for yourself." That wasn't the point that he was making.
Uh-huh.
He came to give his life a ransom for many. And just like I had mentioned earlier about Apostle Paul was saying, godliness with contentment is great gain. He wasn't saying that, he said, but be content with such things as you have. But when you rightly divide the word, he wasn't saying that you can't be better or don't do better, but you be content. Don't have the mindset as that they that will be rich. If you will be rich, that means you'll do anything to try to be rich. But some people end up being rich. They weren't trying to get rich.
Uh-huh.
So he gives us richly all things to enjoy. So yeah.
And, so if you have riches, if you have abundance,
yeah,
and you are able to give of your abundance, that is just as good as not having anything and using faith to walk by Christ.
Right.
If you have abundance and you give out of your abundance, you're using faith in Christ. You're just using it in a different manner.
Yeah.
So it was appointed for the apostles, it was appointed for the Lord to die, it was appointed for the apostles to die.
Yeah.
But that is not our appointing necessarily. And there's a scripture that I was looking for. I just read it today that they should that it was appointed for the apostles to die. It was appointed for them to be killed so that we may not have to go through that type of thing.
Oh, yeah, that was in earlier chapters.
Yeah.
Of the first book of Corinthians. Yeah, what he was talking about. They were the offscoring.
Yeah.
How people didn't really, it wasn't a good thing. As far as, it's 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, I believe, some of the things that they went, now are you rich, you fool, kings. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we were set forth, 1 Corinthians 4 and 9 is what you're looking for.
And we can read the 8th verse. It says, "Now ye are full, now ye are rich, ye have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God that ye did reign, that we might also reign with you. For I think that God hath set forth us apostles last, as it were appointed for death, for we were made a spectacle unto the world, unto angels, and unto men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised."
Mm-hmm.
So these things that the apostles went through, it was so that we would benefit off
of it. Right, right.
And that we are not driven unto poverty, we are not driven unto despisement in the world, but that we may not hold on to these types of things as do the other Gentiles.
Right.
We do not walk after the same type of manner.
Right, and like we were saying earlier, that people calling themselves apostles nowadays, and said, church people get mad over that when you tell them there are no apostles nowadays. And their job was to write the lay the foundation, write the New Testament scriptures, be eyewitnesses, and die a horrible death. They're not looking at that part of it.
The only apostle that did not die by execution was
John.
The apostle John.
Mm-hmm.
But however, as tradition goes, John was sent to execution.
Yeah.
They said that he was dumped into a pot of boiling hot oil, but yet he lived through it. But they said that he was still very badly scarred through this ordeal, and he lived through suffering every day of his life afterwards.
Yeah.
And so although he died as an old man, he died, he had to live that long as a purpose because he had to write his three epistles as well as the revelation of Jesus Christ, as well as his gospel also.
Yeah.
So there was a purpose of why he lived that long.
Yeah.
But all the apostles died off of the scene before 70 A.D., except John.
Mm-hmm.
But
and they died a horrible death, and and they didn't, and that the Lord chose that death for them. Even Peter thought he wasn't worthy to be crucified, as Fox's Books of Martyr says, right side up. But he knew that it was the grace of God. He was what he was, so he wanted to be crucified upside down.
And there was a number of them that was crucified. Just off the top of my head, I believe Andrew was crucified on a X type of cross. I want to say Matthew was driven through with a spear, I believe, and I believe it was Nathaniel or Bartholomew was. I want to say he was torn apart by horses,
right,
or something of that manner.
One of them skinned alive.
Yeah. So there was. They all died horrible deaths.
Yeah.
And it was all appointed unto them. Even Paul was beheaded.
Yeah.
By the emperor.
Nero.
Yeah. So we were to benefit off of their horrible death.
Yeah.
But that is not to say that we are to be gloating after our riches, and we are to be seeking after those types of things. Those things are just supposed to be added unto us. We should not be seeking after those blessings. Those blessings should just come to us automatically because they are promised unto us.
Yeah.
But we should be seeking after the kingdom of God, which is also promised unto us. So, with that being said, going back, Paul did not want to be burdensome unto the church, but he wanted to keep himself. And says, as the truth, verse number 10 of chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth, but what I do, that will I do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, and wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. And on that note, we are going to cut this off because I don't really want to get into, we're running out of time. I don't really want to get into the false apostles in the state. And so this is leading into the division between the apostles of light and the apostles of darkness.
Yeah.
And showing a difference between Paul's ministry and the ministry of those that were just out for gain. And although Paul was boasting of this region and of this church, these men are boasting of themselves and trying to make occasion for themselves and of themselves, and wanted to show themselves to be something that they really weren't. So on that note, I think we are able to, that we are going to close out. We will return once again unto 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, next week. We will start off in the 13th verse, talking about the false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and how we know that Satan is their father and that they are children of the original liar, and that so they are children of they are liars themselves.
Yeah.
Because that is how they were raised in their ministry.
Yeah.
That note, we will close, and we will speak to you once again on next week, Lord's will.
Yes, yes. So we're going to be coming. We thought we still have the 12th and the 13th chapter, 2 Corinthians. So this is going to be a part 2 and 3 probably. So we're going to be, because we talked about St. Paul's revelations and thorn in the flesh, but we didn't get to that part. So we're going to continue. It's going to be a continuation. So thank God for that.
Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. We hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@agt.net. That is truthministry5525@agt.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God bless.